This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Follow the money.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Hey, good to have you on board. We are live downtown Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. In 30 minutes, the owner and the CEO of this great property, Derek Stevens, on the program. A lot to get into with him at that point. He's going to tell, we're going to go in fresh to this, Pauly, a great story about how another $100,000 Grandissimo Circa entry contest came to fruition on Saturday night here at the bar.
Are they going to top last year's field? Can they get to 70?
Man.
We've been stuck on 55 here.
No. Late rush. They got one last year. But
it's a big rush. Running out of time.
Also, update U.S. Open. Tiafoe here serving. He is down 2-1, but he leads in the fourth set 5-3. And now after that, he goes to 40-15. So he is now serving for the set.
Great job if you grabbed a 30 or 40 to 1 in play.
I had a feeling about that.
Yep.
I had a feeling.
What a turnaround. Great drama.
Usually my feelings go right down to the toilet.
Got it.
And you flush it. He got it. You forget about it. We're going five. There you go.
We're going to a fifth set. I can't. I said during the break, how can he be $1.50 to win?
Now what is he?
I mean, he's still only $1.75. I mean, the kid's coming unglued here. It's just...
Well, this is a perfect example.
It's a mental battle, too.
Sure, but this is a perfect example, right, of how things can flip in a tennis match. I mean, it was 5-3 in the third set. He's serving for the match.
And he hasn't lost a set all tournament.
Right.
He's in his own head now. And just the momentum and just the... You know, I don't like that word, especially in sports, but I think here it's appropriate. And also, he's playing to the crowd. And Tiafoe's eating it up and using that emotion and adrenaline to get it done and digging deep.
Sure. He's having fun out there right now. The body language, Tiafoe looks like a guy that you want to be on in terms of a bet. Maybe not right now at the current price, but Mickelson looks like a guy who's also like shattered.
Yeah. All right. I've heard this numerous times. I want to get your take.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we were going to talk today about why is this line 3.5? Now it's three tomorrow. Why is this line 3? We just watched the Super Bowl. It was men against boys. Seattle killed them. They're at home. The champ usually wins this game when they raise the banner. Why has the line come down based on what it was in the Super Bowl after what we just watched and how good this team is in the organization, and they were 14-3 and almost won every game. All three losses were close. Why is the line 3?
Well, because now the game is closer, so bigger bets are coming in. Limits obviously gone way up from earlier in the summertime. No more Clint Kubiak, offensive coordinator. No more Kenneth Walker.
Okay.
The Zach Charbonnet injury at running back. Now you have to bank.
I'll ask our guest tomorrow.
Okay.
I asked Chernoff, what's your answer? What's the biggest loss for Seattle? Is it Kubiak? I
mean, how about no more Kobe Bryant, Rick Woolen, or others on defense as well?
Yeah.
I would say that once Charbonnet comes back and he's healthy, I would say that Kubiak is a bigger loss than Kenneth Walker. Because then you can have Charbonnet, you can have Price might pop as a rookie. I know he's a popular bet to win that award. But also, like, George Halani's actually pretty decent. And I have him now as a deep sleeper on a couple of different fantasy leagues. So I would go Kubiak. That would be my answer. I mean, but the comparison here would be the Eagles, right? When Kellen Moore left and they went to whatever that crap was last year.
No Kubiak, no Walker, no Bryant, no Woolen. Eamon Worry's doubtful. Horton's doubtful. Clark's out for the year. Bobo's out for the year. No Charbonnet.
Right. No Travion Henderson-Varner for the Patriots either.
Mm-hmm.
Did you care for my analysis or my analogy earlier when I compared this to when the Seahawks won the Super Bowl with Russell Wilson and they absolutely destroyed the Broncos? Game was over at halftime. They met, I think it was week 2 the next season in Seattle, and they were laying 3.5 in the game. We just watched it. They killed them. That was 17-3 Seattle in the fourth quarter. Goes to overtime. They got a touchdown. Had to somehow, I don't know how that bet cashed, but it did. That game was way more difficult than what it should have been, and it did not play out like the Super Bowl did.
Okay, well,
so maybe that angle?
Yeah, there's a lot. There's all the injuries and the losses, and the new OC is going to struggle. And maybe Darnold struggles in the first game with the new offense, and you don't, even though he wants to keep things the same, it's still going to be difficult. It's a better New England team. You could argue May was playing hurt in the Super Bowl. And now you get Dobbs and also A.J. Brown to throw to, which is a huge difference. And then you also get this big weapon out of Notre Dame, who apparently they love, with this tight end as well. But you can't run against them. I don't think Stevenson will have success on the ground. And now maybe you got a kicking issue after what happened in the preseason with some of these kicks. Mm-hmm. So special teams, I definitely favor Seattle. Intangibles, great coach, home, pomp, circumstance, raising the banner. I'm surprised that this is the number.
Let me give you some possible bets here for first touchdown score. Does that intrigue you at all? Our buddy Ryan Kramer came on last week when you were out. So to refresh memories here or for the people listening for the first time, he's very good at this, Ryan Kramer from the Sports Gambling Podcast.
Giving he's got to have the Notre score. Dame tight end.
He typically goes like backup tight ends.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
So on Seattle's side, he took two different tight ends. Give me two Utah. A.J. Barner, possible push.
Sure. Got to look at that.
14-1. And then Arroyo as well. Elijah Arroyo at 30-1. On the Patriots side, he's got Hunter Henry, 20-1.
Ah, come on.
And he's got one more bet.
Oh, does he?
It was Travion Henderson. He's not playing in the game.
Kramer.
He made a pivot. You would think backup tight end, right? Your guy? Drake May. Boy, you think you know a guy.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
He gives out these bombs, back out, third string tight ends. The writing's on the wall here. You've talked about this with the Notre Dame tight end now.
Yeah, getting
10
more
times
reps.
Today.
Yes.
Right. He's the go-to guy now in practice. Henry may be a little bit dinged up, and Ryan Kramer doesn't go with him.
Very disappointing.
He did go.
You got to give this guy's love at Circa, too, that the guy's offered. 65-1. It's a good job that Circa offers it.
Yeah. He did go with the game on Thursday.
Right.
With Jake Tongas multiple ways. 60-1 first. He also gave out 9-1 anytime. And at the time, Tongas was 175-1 for two. I think that number has dropped like a rock. But that's a good. Also, in the other game. In that game on Thursday. So Tongas 60, Mike Evans 14-1. He loves Mike Evans in the game for his numbers based on where they're at. And the two tight ends, well, two of the 19 tight ends on the Rams roster.
Yeah, no kidding.
Tyler Higbee 27, Terrence Ferguson 22-1. Ferguson is a guy that McVay hasn't been able to stop talking about in the offseason and in the preseason games as well, practices. So, three looks. I'm not taking the Patriots at this point, obviously, when 4.5 was there for 3 months. But I would say that despite those losses on defense for Seattle, like it did not go well at all for the Patriots in that game. I think that the anticipation here is that it can't go any worse, so it has to be better. But again, I have to point this out. I think there's a pretty good chance Mike McDonald is like a genius at this.
Yep.
And he's going to have and so the whole idea of New England regressing this year based on much more difficult schedule, they're not going to, I get all that, right? Makes sense. I think they can be a better football team and win like 10, 11 games. The idea that Seattle now, did you watch Hard Knocks?
Every episode but one.
Okay. The idea that Seattle, to your point, is maybe the most disrespected or least talked about reigning champion since the 2001 Patriots, McDonald has been like telling them that for weeks now.
Yep.
And they get it. So
yep, all fair.
I like, was that Furman earlier? Was that him last hour who said, if the Rams were playing the Patriots, do you think this number is going to be down? And they were the Super Bowl champions.
Yeah, no kidding.
Are they down to 3 in this game? People just fading the champs? I can't imagine. But.
Yep. Can't wait. That's also, Caesars is doing some fun stuff with this too, called Super Bowl Deja Vu. No one converts a fourth down, plus 350. Seahawks never trail, 6-1. Seattle has more kicking points than Patriot team, total team points, 7-1. No touchdowns first half, 10-1. Patriots shut out first three quarters, 20-1. That's got to be higher.
Yeah.
Both teams combined for 15-plus punts, 75-1.
Oh, boy.
Went through all of it with the box score. And what happened in the Super Bowl. It's a good menu. Good
don't
stuff.
Look, by the way, don't look now. Mickelson with a 2.
Wow, he broke him.
Yeah, he's up 2-0 now.
Yep.
In the fifth set.
That's a good job by Luke to point that out. Tiafoe has got a horrible record. If 2-17 when he goes five sets after losing the first two, then that is that's staggering. He runs out of gas, but what a wave here! What a wave of emotion. See if he can come back now. He wins the holds serve, breaks him, and now serving to go up 3-0 in a death blow.
Do we want Stevenson receiving props tomorrow night? The receptions prop in the playoffs last year.
Uh-huh.
He had three against the Chargers on four targets, 75 yards. He had four catches against Houston. He had zero against Denver. But if I recall correctly, Denver was absolutely elite in the passing game against running backs. And against the Seahawks, he had 5 for 40. And he scored a touchdown as well. 5 for 40 in a game that was a blowout.
Yeah, I could see the dump-offs. And
so four-plus catches is like plus 120.
In that game, Kupp led Seattle and Mac Hollins led the Patriots. It was bizarre what happened and who got off.
Yeah, well, that was
maybe Shaheed can do something. The great numbers are up, too. Like Price, 5 yards rushing every quarter, plus 170. What? You don't think he's going to get a ton of carries? I need 5 yards a quarter? Mitch, it's easy.
Might be Helani.
All right, JSN, a catch or 5 yards every quarter. That's up there as well. Think you're better than the experts? Now's your chance to prove it. The Edge Boost Average Joe Contest puts you in the same pick'em format as a Circa Friday Football Invitational, the ones that the pros plays. Top average Joe earns a spot in next year's field, free to play. Register anytime during the season. Edge Boost gives you $1,000 if you finish first for the week. Don't have an account? Sign up at edgeboost.io with promo code VEASAN. Make sure your account's funded with at least $100. Enter today, VEASAN.com/Joe.
I remember this now. I burn it out of my memory. Jason Myers, I had him at a huge number to win the MVP of the Super Bowl. He was the only player who scored through the first three quarters. Never had a chance to win the award. Derek Stevens coming up in 15 minutes. A contest update. NFL variety. All three of them out here. Are they going to break last year as well? Entry mark of 69 in Grandissimo. $100,000 buy-in there. 55 right now. Paul, latest number here on Mickelson?
450.
He's a favorite as a 450 favorite. Yeah. So he has rebounded nicely here in the fifth set.
What drama. Damn, sorry, we love sports. Dusted himself off, got up, put his hat back on, held serve, broke Tiafo, held serve again, and now he's playing with a lot of confidence now after it was just gloomy Gus and the wheels were coming off.
And he is trying to break Big Foe again right here.
Yep.
And, oh boy, he just went to a $6 favorite. He's up 30-15 here with Tiafo serving.
Now it's Tiafo that's losing his mind. Isn't that something? That you couldn't win a game and nothing was going right, and coming over, you're talking to your coach, and how many times did he throw his racket, right? And he blows the two-set lead, and now he looks like a different guy. He looks like the guy who was dominating early.
That's tennis, Susan.
Long way to go, though. Tiafo has life if he's able to get this game, but if he loses this one, if he breaks him again, oh, boy.
What do you make of tonight, Major League Baseball? Scooble going against Lodolo.
Crazy price.
Dodgers are red hot right now. They're one loss ahead of the Brewers, two wins behind, 18 games left, tied for the fourth, easiest schedule. Think about the schedule for a second, Paulie. The Dodgers have six more against the Reds. You saw that with Burns last night. Glad you pointed that out. They took him out after, three innings? Mm-hmm. Four? They have six against the Giants, three against the Marlins, three against San Diego. Career against the Reds for Scooble. It's a very small sample size, so I'm not going to go ballistic here, but 41% K rate, a 125 average against, a 108 expected batting average against. They haven't been able to touch this guy.
It's way too much respect. I mean, it's like, this is the Yankees price, I understand. It's Schlittler against the Rockies and Judge's back. This, like Dave Roberts said, we're still waiting on Scooble to show us his good stuff. And it's not like the Reds are a joke either.
Mm-hmm.
So
they were hot before last night.
Yeah, 320. Come on. But I got to point out Hernandez props. Look at Hernandez game log, what he's doing for the Dodgers. And he had an excellent game last night, too. So I would expect him to rake tonight. and he can do some damage. But 320, no way. That's one that sticks out with the props. In addition to that is Devers in the other one of the other late games. Plethora of late games.
Mm-hmm.
Giants trying to play the role of spoiler against the Cardinals. Devers hitting 421 last 15 games. He's been on fire. Some places he was plus money with the total bases over last night. First at-bat double, third at-bat double. He's been rocking and rolling as well.
Listener Lance with a good piece of advice last night to me on the Devers angle, because right. I bet him at almost 4-1 to hit a home run.
Total bases ladder? When a guy's hot, how should you play it?
Because you can play a lot of books. Well, I don't know about a lot, but some books will offer like 4+ total bases. You would think, okay, he hits a home run, that's going to be a winning bet. Well, what if he doesn't hit a home run? Like Devers last night, 2 doubles. That got the trick done. And it's something I'm going to have to examine because I'm wondering if 4+ total bases will pay more than a home run hit for a lot of these guys. I think 3+ out of him last night was almost 3-1.
Yeah.
Or +270, something like that. So that was a winning wager. The home run thing, it doesn't matter. First at bat, that hit was, that double was out of the park, 29 out of 30 ballparks. Just so happened to be that he was playing in the one where it wasn't a home run. So that stings a little bit. You want a ladder PCA Ks tonight, which some books will allow you to do.
Yes.
He is.
I have 0 for 13 with 10 Ks against the Miz.
That's correct.
Oh.
That is correct.
Staggering. How can that be? That's a good look. And as I mentioned earlier, Cubs have to get this bullpen figured out. Lost 11 to 19, 8 of the 11 losses. They've blown the lead, just what happened yesterday as well. And I don't know what to make of the Miz Ks after he had that rough outing against the Cubbies last time.
Yeah, that just happens to be his start was last week. He's back at home now in his career. The Miz has made 21 starts in this park. He's 10-1. With a 2.18 ERA. When you look at his starts on the road, 9-7 in his career with a 3.3. They just saw him. They were very good against him. And it could be one of those things where he's going to probably go over 1,000 pitches this year of 100+ miles an hour tonight. I think he's got like 960+. So at some point, does it wear on the arm? And he's still a young guy anyway. And testing this, like, we're talking about all gas, no brakes here the whole time. And is one of those things that's not sustainable where he can be at 104 miles an hour the entire time?
Yep. Definitely in play. And I would maybe get him out of there after 5, too. Because you got to have him ready and healthy to go for October.
I'm very curious. That's, for me personally, in terms of some future bets, that's the biggest question mark that I have. Like, what's the approach for Mizorowski? Because if they really start him in every possible start moving forward, he has 4 starts left based on how many games they have. But do they actually do that? And then how do they trot him out there for 6-7? I don't.
Have they said anything yet?
I haven't seen the
game plan was. Okay. Yeah. We're ready to go in 10 minutes. I like the Orioles and bet the Orioles. Big series for Baltimore. If they sweep Cleveland, they'd be a game back and they'd have the tiebreaker. Young's $1.25. He's top 5 in ROI this year. They're 18-6 when he starts. Bibee can't get any run support. Lowest in all of baseball. They're 8-21 in his starts. Cleveland loses the tiebreakers against everybody. Houston, 25-15 against playoff teams.
Yeah,
plus money against Painter and Philly. After that huge series against Atlanta, I could see a letdown tonight.
Mm-hmm. If Bibee loses that game, by the way, for the Guardians, that's loss number 16 on the year.
That's right.
For him.
Sandy's cheap at home against the Mets. I know they've fallen out.
No, he's not. No, Mets are red hot right now.
Really?
No.
Mania is terrible.
Mets are the play tonight.
No.
Yep.
ERA of 8 last 3 starts. Been bad.
Lindor, Soto, good numbers off of him.
Yeah.
I have a bet on the Mets at 80-1 for the most wins in September.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that they got Soto back and the offense was playing better when I made that wager. And the Marlins, by the way, they've lost 4 of their last 5. They're going in the wrong direction. They now have a 0.5% chance of getting the playoffs at Fangraphs. And let me remind you, the Mets are possibly out for revenge. The Marlins are the team, and I think it was game 162 last year that beat them to keep them out of the playoffs. And their offense, 16 hits yesterday. Every starter had a hit in the game.
All right. Twins also appear to be giving up. Twins are in a funk. Detroit, $1.35 at home. Kramer, 0-4 with an ERA of 9. Last 5 starts against the Tigers. Green, 385 going back. He's been on a tear for Detroit. And you want to lay alts with the Yankees? They should just bury Colorado tonight.
What's 2.5 runs? Like, even money? Not even?
How high do you want to go?
Well, I'm curious at the price on 2.5 runs. I don't think you're going to get much of a plus there at all. I mean, the run line has to be about $1.80 probably.
$1.50, yeah.
Yeah.
Schlittler against Hughes. Judge back. He broke him. It's 3-2 now.
It's almost a pick'em, by the way.
Wow, this is crazy.
It is a pick'em. It's a pick'em at DK.
Wow. It's just $5. His first game since May 31st. Missed 84 games. Winning record with him. Great job, Yankees. What are we at now? 34 consecutive winning seasons. This could be 8-2 tonight. And just and maybe they don't even get anything off Schlittler as well.
This is definitely a game that I'm intrigued by.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers here are incredible because Corbin Burnes makes his 2026 debut. He basically missed two full seasons, right. Tommy John, right? So ramping up, a couple of innings and a rehab start August 29th. He had a bridge game where he threw 53 pitches. He's throwing between 92 and 93 miles an hour. Ooh. So the plan
tonight... Walker's been good, too.
Huh?
Walker's been good. I'm surprised he's favored. The plan, yes?
Yeah, okay. They're going to throw him around 60 pitches. The Royals have the fifth lowest K rate in baseball, the fourth lowest against righties, third lowest at home. And when you combine all that, they have the single lowest K rate at home against righties on the year, 18%. Opposing righties are 56, 35, and 9 to the under their K prop this year. It is screaming to bet under, but you know how I've been with under bets. No good. The Opta AI stats at VSiN.com, they love his K prop over tonight, over 3.5. Can we get there?
No.
Okay.
I like the Costanza angle, though. Perez, 467 career against Burnes. What happens if you're in an accident and the other driver doesn't have insurance or not nearly enough? Suddenly you're stuck with the bills, repairs, and lost wages. That's where lasso injury law steps in. Great TV ads last night during a football game. Their experienced team knows the ins and outs of uninsured and underinsured motorist claims. They fight to make sure you're not left paying for someone else's mistake. And if the worst ever happens, know that lasso injury law is here for you. 702-625-8777. Free consultation, no voicemail, no runaround, real people ready to help. They fight for you at Lasso Injury Law. LassoInjuryLaw.com or call 702-625-8777 for the free consultation.
He's a great man, has an incredible family.
Yep.
I met him and his two sons at the Poodle Room, at the Foundation Room on Friday night.
Yeah.
They're just so much fun to be around as well. The men's room at the Poodle Room might have the best view of all of Las Vegas. Derek Stevens coming up next. Contest update here on VSiN.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Time now for our weekly spot with the owner and the CEO of Circa Las Vegas. Derek Stevens joins us here now on a Tuesday. Boring week coming up for you, Derek? Anything going on?
One of the most fun weeks of the year. I love it.
What is it like for you?
The money's coming in. I'm updating my phone, my app, my office upstairs. I got the surveillance right on all the ticket windows. It's great. Money's coming in for these contests.
How about this? Late last week, the front page of ESPN.com with a story about Circa Survivor. Could you believe that? I mean, what was the reaction to that?
No, it was great. It was a well-written story.
Yeah.
Greenberg wrote a great story. And you know, I did the interview so long ago, I kind of forgot about it, and I wasn't really sure, and it came out, and it was thorough. Kind of gave everybody a little 1-2. I think it might be giving us a little boost. It's good.
Is it? Okay. So are you guys at around 1,000 a day for Survivor, the $1,000 entry?
Yeah. We're at about 1,000 a day now.
Okay.
I would say with Grandissimo coming in and then now millions kicking up, I would hope that on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we do a little more than 2 million a day, maybe a little bit more. And then maybe a million Saturday before the cutoff. So I think we're cooking pretty nice.
Are you going to get to 6,000 in million?
That's nip and tuck. I think we're coming around the far corner. It's going to be it's going to be tight.
Okay.
We're going to do better than last year, which was just around 4,700 or something like that. But we were under 4,700. We were between 5,600, 5,700. So we had a little overlay of a little more $300,000. We'll do better than that this year. I feel pretty comfortable about that.
What are you hearing on Grandissimo?
Grandissimo had another walk-in today.
Okay.
So,
56?
Yeah, we were at 55. We went to 56 this morning. I saw three more wires come in this afternoon for various entries. So they'll be popping in over the next couple of days. So
are we going to get beyond last year's number of 69, you think?
I don't know. Right now I'm thinking we're going to be close. I'm not sure. What's interesting to me is we've not had a poker contingent show up. So I talked to a couple of groups. Last year we had a pretty big poker contingent that showed up at the end. So I don't know.
Do you know when that rush started last year with the poker?
It was like right about now. It was this week. So haven't had that. So that. Maybe that means there's something coming. I don't know.
Can you tell the story? We're going in fresh to this of what happened on Saturday night, evidently here at a bar where another entry came together.
Oh, my God. So, yeah. So I'm sitting over at Vicky's, and we got one of our players, Rayo, one of my buddies from Detroit. He's getting in. He's got all the appointments set up for Saturday morning with his proxy. And he's sitting at the bar, goes, and all he keeps hearing about is Grandissimo. He goes, I got to get in. I'm in a quarter. I'm in 25 grand. I go find me for some partners, and I'm sitting down. And next thing you know, one of the guys he's with comes up to me and he says, "Hey, I might be interested, but what's Grandissimo?" It's his first time out. So the fellow that played on the Yankees, DJ LeMay, who's out with the crew.
Oh, wow.
So DJ
okay.
goes, "I'm interested." I go, "Do you want to play certain?" He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Yeah, I'll be in. I'll take 25% of that. No problem." So then we're talking about Rob Baker, the Project Barbecue guy.
Yeah.
He goes, "Oh, man, with this crew, I want to be in, but I'm in for 10. Okay. And then sitting right next to us was James Fair, Dave Fair, and like Matt Brown. And I tell Matt Brown, I go, "Hey, all these guys are in. Are you putting a group together to get into Grandissimo?" I was thinking about it. I don't know. I go, "Well, you just had three guys just kick in a little bit. They're looking for, and what's crazy, they're looking for a captain. They're looking for somebody that wants to." I go, and I just blew him up a little bit. I go, "This is a guy that does the show, all that." And then I looked over at Matt Brown. I go, "Matt, you know who signed up for Circuit Grandissimo a little while ago?" He goes, "Who's that?" He goes, "Your new co-host, Tony Farmer." He goes, "Farmer's in?" Yeah, I go, "He's doing it by himself." He goes, "What?" I go, "I better get in too." So Tony Farmer's in Grandissimo. And now Matt Brown goes, "I better get in." That's who I get to do the show with on Saturday nights. So I go, "They're looking for a captain." And he goes, That's DJ from LSU fame and the Rockies and the Yankees." I go, "Yeah." So Matt Brown goes, "I'm from LSU." So they hit it off. Next thing you know, everybody's talking, having a few drinks. Oh, everything's fine. Ray's like, "Count, that's 25. Okay, we got 25 over here. 25 over there." So I'm like, so then he goes, "Yeah, okay, we don't want anybody else. We got a full house." But okay. So Saturday morning we come up here and all of a sudden, you know, numbers don't quite add up. Right? So they're trying to figure out what's the team name. They're very, very adamant. The team name is gonna be what's important. I go, "Guys, it's kind of more important. Who's the captain? What are the bylaws? You know, kind of focus in on this and that." They were very focused on the team name. So after messing around for like 35 minutes, Ray goes, "You know what? 25 plus 10 plus 10. Last night it equaled 100, but now it only equals 70. So I figured out the team name." And he looked around. "Our team name is 30,000 short." And that's what they went in. That's their team name. They're 30,000 short. So then like, okay, well, how's it going to work? Can we figure out? "No, you got to have 100,000. You got to have 100,000. So the DJ guys, "It's okay. Put the rest on my card. I got a couple guys that I played with the Yankees that want to get in anyway. So anyway,
get
DJ took
here.
It. So all that. But then after the story got out, now I got 10 other guys that want to jump in with that team. So, but that's how the team 30,000 short developed from the onset.
Excellent.
On Saturday.
Incredible.
Good. Oh, excellent. How many times does the card get declined because the bank thinks it's fraud?
Often.
Yeah.
Often.
And you look like a jerk off when you...
Yeah, but no, it depends. Like, a lot of Amex is on this stuff, so... You gotta have your phone set up, and then what they do is they send you the verification.
They send
you the 6-digit PIN code and all that type of stuff. So pretty normal. And usually they break it down to $25,000 clips and everything seems fine.
Okay.
There you go.
And excellent. You told us this probably a couple of weeks back, but you can confirm again here that you know for sure that at least one group or one person is gonna go like all in on the Seahawks tomorrow night if they lose or coming back?
Yeah.
Is it up to multiple groups?
I've got a couple. I know that there's a couple groups that are taking shots on these early games. Now, what I find interesting is this backstory. I mean, this backstory of what happens in the Rams 49ers, this backstory is going to be a story that I think people are going to think about for the next decade. Because either the Rams are right, fly in and out, or the Niners are right. Get there a week and a half early. It's going to set up schedules going forward. And I don't know that one game necessarily should determine the future. But I think that's going to be a big storyline. I think people are listening at the bar. People have strong opinions on this. So I do think there's people taking shots at boom or boom.
Well, Mitch is right, too, about the Rams have a tough schedule coming up. And we probably also what happens in week two determines who was right. But maybe the Rams are just so talented that they can overcome something like this and get off to a 4-1 start, even off the maybe it is the wrong decision.
I think we're going to know after like week 4 or week 5, to be honest.
Yeah.
Right.
I know people are really looking at this week 1 saying Chargers. I think that for a lot of reasons, maybe that makes sense. But I'd also say Chargers are a big week 2 play.
Yeah, that's right.
I would agree.
All of a sudden, Jacksonville thing kind of plays into it.
That's right.
And Detroit kind of plays into it, too. Mm-hmm. I don't know that the Chargers are going to be the number one selection in week 1.
Well, can you explain what happened here then? I think it was yesterday, the move from, 10.5 down to 8.5 in that Chargers-Cardinals game?
Yeah. Everybody's making decisions. Everybody's taking these different shots right now.
Was there 1 second left? Come on now. Did you donate to the Western Michigan Fund?
I did not. It had nothing to do with it. Nothing. I would tell you, but wait a second. What's wrong? What's wrong with this? Why are we not complaining about the DBs for Western Michigan not jumping up and trying to stop the ball?
You call a timeout. You have to have your guys organized.
I've been. This has been burning inside my soul ever since Cordell Stewart dropped back and threw to Michael Westbrook.
You were at the game?
Yeah.
How about that?
I mean, this is just fair play. It took a couple decades. Broncos came out on the short end.
Decades. It worked out. How do you run Wildcat 3rd and 2?
I don't know.
Crazy. That was ridiculous. Yeah.
How do they not call the face mask? How do they not call the running into the punter?
There's just too much crazy stuff. Too much crazy.
Are you slightly embarrassed that they were given the win?
Come on.
So Michigan looked terrible.
Yeah.
Michigan was terrible.
Underwood
looked terrible.
Yes.
Everything was terrible.
Yes. Yeah.
There's a lot of things that look terrible this weekend. I'm not a guy that says, but thank goodness for Taylor McGregor last night.
Is she great?
I texted her last night. I go, you would not believe how the bookmakers, we were watching every little word. That's the only information we could get.
Yep.
None of this, none of that. And I texted Taylor, I go, my God, you wouldn't believe how you impacted the markets. It was unbelievable. What a day she had. Taylor Tinema.
She's awesome at her job.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Good call.
Thank you. Have a sane week. Good luck with everything. Our Best Bets in Pocket plays coming up next.
The guy has an algorithm to determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. Take it.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're right.
A lot of fun with Derek. And while we were talking to Derek, this incredible match rolls on. Forget quarterfinals. Forget U.S. Open. This is just an iconic tennis match. Mickelson won the first two sets. Tiafoe battled back as high as 40-1 in play. Mickelson was serving for the match. He hadn't lost a set the whole tournament. It's 5-5 in the third set. Mickelson serving. Tiafoe minus 130 to win. And hope, fingers crossed, this goes to a tiebreaker. This is, oh, what, Mike. How long? What, let's start it at 11 o'clock our time?
I think that sounds right, yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
This is nuts. 10:45, I think?
I want to say in the history of our show, now we did mornings for like 7 years, so we didn't have a lot of sporting events going on. This is probably the best sporting event that's ever gone on when we've been live.
Yeah. 4 hours and 20 minutes in, and we might have another half hour to go, 45 sure. minutes. This is great. Shelton and Alcaraz have a lot to live up to.
It can't be this good,
no,
can it?
No, it can't be. No. All right. This is a fun bet offered at various places. No turnover tomorrow. No turnovers. 10-1 in the game. Let's see if the quarterbacks can be clean. Dax beat the Giants 14 in a row. Why not? Cowboys train rolls on. A lot of hype. A lot of people picking them to win the division. Dallas owns the Giants. They win Sunday night. Steelers against Atlanta. You're going to trot Tua out there, and then we'll see moving forward. Okay. It seems like we'll get Penix once he's 100%.
Okay, Jim.
No kidding. And we'll have a ton of props and a ton of kicking stuff to go over tomorrow. Thank God it's here. Can't wait. Wednesday and Thursday night, baby. Come on, let's go.
Good luck, Paulie. That was so close, man.
What ridiculous. How can that be?
What a tease last night.
How can that be?
The Devers home run.
Did he hit a dead center then, I guess?
No, it was right center off the wall.
So, on every park but that one.
First at bat, a double that's out of 29 of 30 Major League Baseball ballparks. Oh, again, tough to win these bets.
That's the prop
it's
on
game
the
of inches.
Bat.
Game yeah. of inches.
Keep so riding him, man. Like I said it earlier. Sorry, Mitch. Hernandez for the Dodgers, Devers, Riley Green, Machado, Acuna, all on fire, like raking 400 last five games such. Maybe bigger sample size with some other guys.
All right, so here's what I'm going to do tonight in Major League Baseball. Lindor, by the way, with a home run.
Yes.
Already for the Mets. Has good numbers against Sandy Alcantara. Okay, so it's a big series for Chandler Simpson of the Tampa Bay Rays. Now, mind you, he's like 6 points back of Yordan Alvarez for the batting average lead in the American League. So he's very good at the plate. Zero home runs on the year. So I'm not going to bet a crazy thing like a home run. But like fastest dude on the planet. Grew up in Atlanta. Diehard Braves fan, went to Georgia Tech, more than 100 supporters mm-hmm. in and around Section 140 where he plays left field. Parents, two grandmothers, one has never seen him play.
Bro!
Sister, aunt, cousin, they're all going to be there tonight. Grew up playing travel ball, lifelong friend Michael Harris. He's very good, obviously. But I'm going to play total bases, check that. It's hits, runs, and RBIs over 1.5, minus 120.
Fun mark. Yeah, that's a good way to attack.
Because I wrapped my brain around how to approach this the entire morning when I saw this note come across. Like, what do we do here? The stolen base number is too short. So then it's like, okay, well, total bases, that's plus 140. Might hit a double, and that's it. The run prop is interesting. That's like plus 160. But I'm going to go with this one as of right now. Chandler Simpson, over 1.5 hits, runs, RBIs, minus 120.
Have you looked? Has the Bryce Harper walk thing still continued?
I have not checked the game log here.
He's on a great run? Okay. Wait's finally over. College football back already. NFL season kicks off tomorrow. Get your edge with VSiN Pro. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get instant access to the updated NFL betting guide with post preseason updates, week one betting systems, contest strategies, fresh best bets from the experts. You also get our college football betting guide, previews of every team, every best bet, every host, every guest, real-time betting splits, DK and Circa, 24/7 video on the Watch app, $9.99. Get in now or save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. VSiN.com/subscribe now. It's here. We're ready. The props are up. The stuff for tomorrow as well, the edges, VSiN.com/subscribe.
Where did we go when we went to Foxwoods for pizza?
Oh, I went to the three places in New Haven.
We went to New
Haven. Sally's, Modern,
and
Pepe's. Yeah.
This is a tweet from Felper on X. He liked the line about, that's tennis, Susan. He works late on the East Coast, And he says, I know that pizza is always a hot topic. He says, Zupardi's a pizza in West Haven, Connecticut is better than New Haven.
Oh, come on.
That's what he says.
Well, we just, I forgot his name. Who's the kid we just met? The kid from Manhattan who gave
Yego.
Us the gift. Yeah.
Yego.
I still go with John's.
John's very good.
I mean, John's in New York is Bleecker or downtown. I mean,
John's on Bleecker
Broadway,
Street.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Broadway.
Yeah, we went to Broadway.
Yeah, Broadway. That's you can't go wrong.
I thought the sausage there was the best.
Yeah, and the sausage rolls. But you're up against it though too. While it could be the best pizza you ever had, you go to three different spots. What do you order?
I know.
Like you got to get the white pie. We got the atomic bomb at one of the places. So it's hard about, do you just get the same thing? You can't get the same thing at all three spots.
No, you got to mix it up a little bit here. I would ask for, not that I'm doubting Felper, I don't know who he is,
right,
but
yeah.
I appreciate the tweet for sure. That's great of him.
No doubt.
And I'm going to make a note of that next time that we're potentially out in Connecticut. But for those of you familiar with the West Haven or New Haven pizza game, would you agree with that? Zupardi's pizza is better? Because I would make us, like there's a pizza place, I think it's called Amici in Chicago. I would go, it looks so good on Instagram, I would go there just for that pizza.
Have you had Giordano's?
Is it thick crust?
That's Chicago pizza.
I'm not eating thick crust.
Really?
I don't like it.
Oh.
No, never been my jam. I'm all about thin crust, baby.
Yeah, there's one at every party.
Yeah, that would be you with this take.
What are you talking about?
Thick crust, one piece and you're done.
Oh.
It's not good. It's not lasagna. I'm ordering pizza here.
I enjoyed it. It's good pie. Down the street.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by some of these numbers, the movement now that we have for week one, including tomorrow night, like you just talked about here. The Seahawks sitting at 3. The Cardinals are now 8.5, catching 8.5. Is it possible the Jags go off as a bigger favorite than the Chargers?
Yes. Everyone's anti-Cleveland and anti-Watson.
Is it possible Jacksonville is more popular week one circus survivor than...
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, that's possible. Anything's possible. Mickelson held serve. So a lot of people have been asking the question, why is this line 3? Why is this line 3.5? Now down to 3 here. We just watched the Super Bowl. It was a total domination.
Right.
But the comeback is all the people they lost. And New England added some good pieces, especially at the wide receiver position. And you could say Drake May was compromised. And certainly beat up in that game. And he was awful. But The D line is going to be a problem. Does New England get the rushing game going? I doubt
very
it.
Very much so.
Can they protect May? I doubt it. And you have to trust Sam Darnold. Now we'll see how the new OC does. See if JSN has another big season. But you're down several key guys. But again, this is the home team usually rises up, wins this game, and they're impressive. They have such an edge with the emotion, raising the banner, and everyone ready to go. But I stand by it. And most disrespected champ since 2001.
We will go
Rams,
over.
Rams, Niners, Rams, this, Eagles, Bears. Hey, how about the guy went 14-3?
Right. We're going to go over a ton of different props tomorrow as well. How about this? Hasn't been talked about yet here on the show anyway. Remember what happened last year? You brought it up, how the D-line should be awesome in this spot for the Seahawks. They had 6 sacks in that game.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Should we be looking at sack props?
Yeah.
Not individuals for the Seahawks, but I'm talking about like either team sack props.
Defense is ahead of offense, too.
I would think,
the O-line's not ready to go, not on the same page, chemistry issues.
And not a lot of books are going to offer like individual teams here to have a sack, like to go over, like the Seahawks over 2.5 sacks. But you can find probably combined game sacks at like 4.5 or 5, maybe at some books. Last year in that game, the Patriots had 1 sack. I think the Seahawks might get there on their own all again.
I got to back my guy, too, Myers. Seattle longest made field goal. Got to do that after the issues the Patriots had in preseason. And this guy was number 2 last year, only behind Fairbairn, and made field goals. And, you mentioned what happened in the Super Bowl, too, how good the guy was. But he's awesome, and McDonald will trust him from 55, 58. No problem as well.
He was Austin Great. Powers, number 2.
Yes.
All right, let's follow the money here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Thanks for checking in here today. Coming up next, it's VSIN prime time for a full 4 hours. I don't know. This Tiafoe-Mickelson match might still be going on for a long time.
We're going to the tiebreaker.
They'll have a lot more on the NFL baseball card as well. Cashing out, Dustin Sweetelson. tonight as well at 11 o'clock Eastern time. Best of luck with your bets tonight. We'll talk to you tomorrow. See you.